Ross Atkins is general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and Ross Atkins joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ross, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I greatly appreciate it. Heard your year-end media availability yesterday, and you know, a lot of talk about the process that will be involved bringing in the next manager to the Blue Jays. What I'm interested in, though, is, you know, who will you rely on? I mean, obviously, you're going to, this is going to be your decision. It's going to be your gut. It's going to be your, you know, your analysis of the situation. I know you've got a lot of people around you, but is there somebody that you might be able to tap into just for advice, or even, you know, even a soft shoulder, just somebody that you can pick up the phone and say, hey, let me bounce this idea off you?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we have a lot of experience in our baseball operations and having gone through this process. And thanks for having me on, first of all, Jeff. I appreciate it. And, you know, Ben Cherington, Tony LaCava, Mark Shapiro, myself have all been, Andrew Tenish have all been through this process several times. So
okay.
The experiences here are solid on that front. But there are managers in the game that I will rely on. There are other GMs in the game that I will certainly rely on and already have. One of the greatest things about this hire is how the magnitude of it is so respected in the industry that when you call around for support, for, you know, wisdom, for insight, ideas, you get 100% support, regardless of it's in the AL East, it's in the AL. There's a very competitive, you know, business that we're working in, so that is not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, it's an incredible opportunity for the organization to learn a great deal. And each time that I've been through it and with the Cleveland Indians prior to being here, there are a lot of things about the process that helped us reshape how we viewed not only in-game management and culture building and what it takes to have a championship environment, but going through the process, you learn so much from so many different people and so many different angles about opportunities to get better in the game. So there isn't one person, but you know, the managers that I trust and know the best and the GMs that I trust and know the best will, you know, have already been helping me through this and will continue to.
You know, you use the word trust a lot there. And I what I really find interesting about this is, you know, with all the process that's involved, you know, I keep thinking back to Alex Anthopoulos hiring John Gibbons. No one saw that coming. And at the end of the day, one of the selling points for Alex was, you know, I'm comfortable with this guy. You know, this guy has my back. I know what he's about. There's a familiarity there. And sometimes I think we underestimate the importance of that, you know, in your chair, don't we? You have to have someone, you have to have someone you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely the case. You have to be aligned. And if you're not, it will have a negative impact on the organization. The power of, you know, owner to president, president to GM, GM to manager, that was one of the questions that Mark Shapiro asked me in my interview. What is the most important relationship that you will have? And I said, well, after president to GM, it will be GM to manager. That alignment is so powerful that you can impact so many different aspects of the organization, not just the 25 guys in the clubhouse. So now, having said that, you don't have to have familiarity, because you can have, you know, the relationships that we, you know, have built and fostered, there are other people that I'm going to feel confident can help me get to the point and making that decision that I know I will trust the person moving forward, or feel confident that I will trust the person moving forward based on the work and the process and identifying and hiring that person.
Will you be the point man in these talks? I'm interested, for example, you know, who will make the initial call? And I don't expect state secrets here, but who will make the initial call? You know, who would be involved in the actual, the actual in-person interview? Because I know that this front office is a collegial front office. There are a lot of people, and there's a lot of input coming in, which I think is a strength given the way the game is now. How is that all going to work, though, Mark, when we're talking about sitting down and looking at another guy across the table and conducting an interview?
Yeah, I mean, I it will absolutely be me making the initial phone calls, and that first contact, and whether that ends up being with 15 individuals, that first call will come from me. And I think the last meeting will be with me when we're ultimately making, you know, either in each in-person interview, in each phone call that we make. I think the first touch point and the last touch point will be with me. And now, you know, having said that, it's just so much more powerful that if you have a structure, you have your goals on what you're looking for, then you have the structure to try and learn that. The process will tell us in the end. It will be clear. Mm-hmm. It always is if you stick to it. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, it will be easy, because getting to that point will take a lot of rigor. And I haven't gotten off the phone since the last day of the season. I don't expect to for the next month.
Now, again, you know, everybody can have all these plans and everything. Everything can be set up. But, I mean, as you have mentioned a couple of times, there is a chance that somebody else who's looking for a manager may decide to move really quickly. What happens in that case if there's somebody that you, I don't know if I'm not going to use the word targeted, but let's say somebody that you think fits this job really well and you get an inkling that another team is moving in on that person. Do you have to be in a position where you essentially blow up the process and focus in on that one guy? Or do you have to just trust the process and maybe come to the conclusion that, you know what, if this guy's ready to jump for this situation right away, maybe he's not the guy we want?
B. Yeah, I mean, you said it well. I think the way you phrased it in saying we're not going to blow up our process. Now, we may have to expedite aspects of it.
Sure.
Or we may not be able to interview as many people as we initially set out to, but we're not going to blow it up. And I think you made a good point that if someone wants to move quickly to another organization, for whatever reason that may be, then we're probably not going to be aligned with that person, because I think respecting that process and understanding the rigor that it goes into it both ways is what we're looking for. So we're looking for that type of person that wants it on their side as well, to learn where they're going.
Very general question here. Do you, and I mean this with all due respect, do you consider this job an entry-level job, or is it something beyond that, given where this team is? And when I say entry-level, I mean somebody, I'm going to say out of the blue. I'm going to throw Aaron Boone in as an example. Somebody that, you know, hasn't managed before. That's when I use the phrase entry-level job. That's what I mean, somebody with no managing, no coaching experience. Do you view this job as being something more than that at this point in time? Do you need it to be something more than that?
Yeah, I mean, the key factors for me is that the way that I'm thinking about that, and we are thinking about that, is it's important to have led before. They don't have to have managed in the big leagues, or they don't have to have 5 years managing in the minor leagues. But we have to feel confident that they have led people in a powerful way. Probably as important is someone that has thought about what it takes to win and sustain winning in Major League Baseball, and what that means in terms of communication, what that means in terms of work ethic and rigor, in terms of process, in terms of innovation, in terms of collaboration, and all of those, I suppose those can come across a bit as buzzwords, but, you know, really they're all really important, and that's how we're going to do the work to find that person. And it will be clear when we go through the process if the individual has thought about those things and for how long, and, you know, how meaningful this potential role will be for them. So, you know, entry level, I think that would be highly unusual for that to happen, where someone has not led something before, is probably going to be difficult for us to sign up. We have an incredible opportunity with a ton of talent, with several waves of talent behind it already, a ton of talent already on our major league team and about to transition, and then a couple of waves behind that. So it is, I believe, a very, very attractive job because of representing a country, representing a city, being in the AL East, and the talent I mentioned. One of the most attractive things about it, I think, is Mark Shapiro. So he has one of the best reputations in the game. He has a track record of having success in building championship cultures and environments. He has a track record of developing people, not just players. And most importantly, he has the highest integrity of anyone that I've ever worked with. So, people know that in the game, and people place a premium on that. And this, for many reasons, and that being one of them, will be, a very attractive place for our next manager.
After having spent a couple of years now in a general manager relationship with John Gibbons, what have you learned about how those relationships develop, Ross, that maybe caught you a little off guard, or maybe it was something that when you sit back, you go, I kind of didn't see that developing that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. And, they're so demanding. These jobs are so demanding, and therefore the relationship, it can be so easily compromised. And therefore the work that it takes to connect, to communicate, to ensure that we are going to disagree, but once we have set forth with our decision, we are absolutely aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of that, I knew it was important, and I've seen it. I've seen it in the past, whether it be with, Eric Wedge, Manny Acta, Terry Francona, now with John Gibbons. Fortunately, the organization that I was developed in as a player and then coach and now as an executive, I had tons of exposure to our major league clubhouse, to all of our decision making. And I've learned a great deal over the years from all of those people. And each year, I only feel more confident about the power of that dynamic for the organization beyond the 25-man roster. Just the power it can have in professional scouting and amateur scouting, and how attractive that is to an organization when the leadership at the top is 100% aligned.
Hey, Ross, how much difference is there interviewing a guy, like, I'm going to throw out a name, interviewing a guy like Terry Francona or interviewing a guy who does not have a lengthy managerial resume? And I'm talking about when you sit down and talk to the guy. How do you have to ask different questions because of the depth of the resume?
I mean, somewhat, of course. You have to do everything you possibly can to understand the strengths and limitations of the candidate before you interview. So where you're going to poke and where you're going to push will be unique to each candidate. Having said that, there will be overarching themes, which are based on our values and based on things that they're going to be tough, smart, and passionate. And I could talk at a long time about what those things mean to me. And the smart aspect of it is being collaborative, innovative, and open-minded. Just someone that wants to do something as a group, wants to learn and get better, and wants to be willing to take risk. And I think in this game, oftentimes, whether it be managers, farm directors, coaches, there is something about the culture environment that makes it hard to do things differently. And that's probably across all businesses and, not just professional sport, not just professional baseball, but baseball has such history that there's this undercurrent of don't try to reinvent the wheel, and let's not change things that have worked for a long time. And I don't think you can win unless you do. You certainly can't sustain it. If we go about things the same way that most people go about baseball, we will be average. And we need to be willing to take risk and to look different sometimes and to be uncomfortable in order for us to really, really realize all the potential that we can have.
Mark, Ross, I really appreciate you joining us today. Thanks so much. I know it's been a hectic couple of days. It's going to be a hectic month. And again, thanks for your help all season long. And we'll be talking again.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Have a good day.